Welcome to this beginner lesson on building a fill route in Ableton Live 12 for jungle and old school drum and bass vibes. In this session, we're not just making random drum fills, we're building a repeatable process you can return to again and again, so your track keeps moving, keeps breathing, and still feels like one solid groove. That's the whole idea of a fill route. It's your go-to method for making fills that fit the track, fit the style, and help you move from one section to the next without killing the energy. Now, if you're aiming for jungle or old-school DNB, the fills should feel raw, rhythmic, sample-based, and a little messy in the best way. Not super polished, not overly clean. Think chopped breaks, snare stutters, reverse hits, little tom punches, and that dusty tape-worn character that makes everything feel alive. Let's get into it. First, set your tempo. Open Ableton Live 12 and put the project around 172 BPM. That's right in the classic jungle and DNB range. Anywhere from 170 to 174 works well, but 172 is a great starting point. Next, build your main drum foundation. You can use a drum rack with one-shots, or you can work with audio if you're chopping a breakbeat. A classic break like an Amen-style break, a Think break, or any dusty break sample you've got permission to use will work great. Your main loop should be simple and solid. Kick, snare, ghost hits, hats, and maybe some break slices layered in. The important thing is this: your main loop is the anchor. The fill route is there to decorate it, not replace it. Now create a separate track or group just for your fills. Label it something like fill route or fill lane. Color it differently so it stands out visually. Keep it close to your main drum group so your workflow stays clean. This way, your main drums handle the groove and your fill route handles the variation and transitions. Let's build a basic fill. A good beginner fill for jungle usually happens at the end of a phrase, like every 4 or 8 bars. Keep it short and purposeful. A simple recipe could beat a few snare hits, one kick pickup, one break chop, maybe a reverse hit, and a tom or low percussion accent right before the next downbeat. For example, in the last bar before a section change, you might place a snare on the third beat, then two quick ghost snares after it, then a kick and snare together near the end, and finally a reverse sound leading into the next bar. You do not need a ton of notes. In this style, placement matters more than quantity. If you're programming MIDI, use a 1/16 grid and vary the velocities. Let the main hits be stronger and the ghost notes be softer. That contrast is what gives the fill life. You can also nudge a few notes slightly off the grid for a more human feel. If you're working with audio, slice the break and rearrange the pieces instead. Tiny fades on the clip edges can help keep things smooth. Now let's add the tape dust layer. This is where the vibe really starts to feel old school. Create another track for dust, noise, or tape effects. This can be used for vinyl noise, tape hiss, tiny glitches, reversed break fragments, or filtered percussion. The goal is not to make it loud. The goal is to make the fill feel textured and worn in. A nice stock Ableton chain for this layer could include erosion, auto filter, redux, echo, and utility. Erosion adds roughness to the top end. Auto filter lets you shape and move the tone. Redux gives you a bit of grain and crunch if you use it lightly. Echo can add short, filtered space behind the beat. Utility can narrow the stereo image so the dust sits back in the mix instead of fighting the drums. You can also resample your fills. This is a really useful move. Route the fill group to a new audio track. Record the fill into audio, then chop it up and edit it again. That print and chop workflow often sounds more organic than programming everything from scratch. It also gives you that slightly imperfect tape character that fits jungle so well. Now let's build a 4-bar fill route. Think of it like a mini story. Bar 1 is setup. Keep most of the groove intact and just add a light ghost snare or a tiny break chop. Bar 2 is build. Increase the energy a bit. Add quicker snare repeats, maybe a pitched hit or a reverse cymbal. Bar 3 is the peak. This is where the fill becomes obvious. Use a snare roll, more chopped break slices, and a little more velocity and density. Bar 4 is release. Clear space for the next section. Use a final hit, a reverse tail, and let the next downbeat breathe. That shape gives your fill a sense of direction. It doesn't just happen. It moves somewhere. Let's talk about snare rolls, because they are a classic part of jungle and old-school DNB fills. The trick is to make them feel rough and musical, not too shiny or EDM clean. Start with a few snare hits on the last half of the bar. Begin with 8th notes, then move into 16th notes, and if needed, finish with a little burst of faster notes near the end. Increase the density gradually. Vary the velocity so it doesn't sound robotic. You can also automate an auto filter to slowly open the roll, or use a little saturator or reverb on the final hit only. Just keep it short. In jungle, the fill should hit and get out of the way. Another powerful technique is using break chops as your fill vocabulary. This is one of the most authentic ways to work in this style. Instead of only programming snare rolls, slice your break and use the actual pieces as fill material. Snare fragments, kick-snare combos, tiny hats, ghost percussion, all of it. In Ableton, right-click the break and choose slice to new MIDI track. You can slice by transients for a natural feel or by fixed divisions if you want something more grid-based. Then play the slices like a drum kit. Repeat a snare slice a few times, answer it with a kick slice. Pitch one slice down for weight or reverse a slice for tension. After slicing, group the fill and process it with glue compressor for punch, saturator for weight, EQ8 to clean up mud around the low mids, and drum bus if you want a little more drive and transient shaping. Now here's a huge concept. Fills work even better when they interact with the bass. A fill should create a moment where the bass pulls back, shifts, or answers. You can mute or thin the bass for a beat or two, then bring it back hard on the next downbeat. A bass stop, a sub drop, a restab, or a filtered bass pickup can all work really well. Use automation here. Volume automation, filter automation, or clip envelopes can all help. If you want a darker vibe, close the bass filter during the fill, then open it on the drop. That tension and release move is simple, but it's powerful. To save time, turn your fill setup into a reusable rack. You can build a drum rack or an audio effect rack with chains like fill snare, break chop, reverse hit, dust noise, and tom accent. Then map macros to things like filter cutoff, reverb amount, delay send, saturation drive, or sample start if you're using simpler. That way, you can quickly dial in a darker fill, a brighter fill, a dirtier fill, or a wider transition without rebuilding everything from scratch. When you start arranging fills in a real track, think in intervals. Use small fills every 4 bars, bigger ones every 8 bars, and your biggest transition fills before drops, breakdowns, vocal entries, or bass changes. A simple 32-bar section might have a tiny fill at bar 4, a stronger one at bar 8, another at bar 12 with dust and reverse motion, and a bigger transition at bar 16. A few common mistakes to avoid here. Do not overfill every bar. If everything is busy, nothing feels special. Do not make the fills too clean. A little swing, a little chop, a little grit goes a long way. Do not drown the fill in reverb. Too much reverb can kill the punch. Do not ignore velocity. If every hit is the same, the fill sounds fake. And do not let the fill fight the bass. Make space for the downbeat. If you want to push this into darker territory, a few tricks help a lot. Pitch snare layers down a little. Pitch toms lower for more weight. Use controlled distortion with saturator or drum bus. Roll off some harsh highs so the fill feels more menacing. Leave space. Sometimes the most powerful fill is the one that pulls back and lets a reverse tail hang in the air. Here's a simple practice exercise. Make a basic 2-bar jungle loop at 172 BPM. Then create a separate fill track and program a 4-bar fill route like this. Bar 1 gets a ghost snare and a tiny break chop. Bar 2 gets a short snare roll. Bar 3 gets a pitched tom and a reverse slice. And bar 4 gets a final hit and a reverse tail into the next section. Put auto filter, saturator, echo and utility on the fill track. Automate the filter cutoff to rise through the fill. Let the delay feedback increase a little at the end. Narrow the stereo width before the last hit, then open it back up on the drop, then bounce it or resample it and listen back. Does it feel like it belongs in the groove? Is it too busy? Does it lead clearly into the next section? If not, remove a note or two before adding more. That's often the fix. If you want the best results, remember this simple idea. A fill route is less about adding more notes and more about changing momentum. In jungle and old school D&B, the magic often comes from tiny edits that feel almost accidental. One main fill idea, reused with small variations, usually works better than making every fill completely different. So as you practice, focus on layers, contrast, and movement. Keep the main groove strong. Use your fill route to create tension. Add tape dust for texture. Let the final hit do the most work. And when it sounds good, bounce it to audio and start chopping it up again. That's how you get that dusty, urgent, old-school jungle energy that feels like it's driving forward on its own. If you want, I can also help you with a specific 4-bar MIDI fill pattern, a stock Ableton effects chain recipe, or a full drum arrangement template based on this technique.